What does a dementia-friendly community look like? As I mentioned before the news, this is Dementia Month, and dementia is a growing challenge, a global challenge. In fact, worldwide, 44 million people have dementia. Almost two-thirds of those live in low- and middle-income countries. Here in Australia, it's a growing issue. And so this notion of a dementia-friendly community is becoming important. It's increasingly focusing the mind of governments, health professionals, and of course, people living with dementia and their loved ones. And while the race is on to find a cure, it must continue at our universities and research institutions. It's really in our homes and communities that we can make an immediate change to improve the lives of people with depression, with dementia. Jill Ayling is from the UK Department of Health. She's the head of Britain's response to the WHO's Global Action Against Dementia program. Jill Ayling, welcome to RN Breakfast. Welcome to Australia.
Thank you, Fran.
Jill, this question, what does a dementia-friendly community look like? Can you have a shot at answering that for us?
Yes, of course. So in England, we've been trying to develop communities, but working with people with dementia and speaking to them about what would they want, you know, what would they need. And they've told us that they want to find their way around and feel safe in their communities or cities. They want to access local facilities that they're used to, like banks, shops, cafes, cinemas and post offices. And they want to maintain their social networks and make them still feel part of the community. So I'll give you a real tangible example of what that means. So we've been working with a gentleman called Trevor Jarvis in the UK who's got vascular dementia. And he's really keen to maintain his independence financially. And he wants to be able to access his money. So he can no longer remember his PIN code. So he's been working with Lloyds Bank in the UK on developing his signature to withdraw funding, which means he's now able to still continue to access his funding and you know, still remain within the community. And I think that's a real tangible example of what a dementia-friendly community can be. We've also been working with all key businesses like Marks and Spencers, you know, big organisations like that, so that all their staff are trained to be dementia friends. In England, we now have over a million dementia friends. In Japan, they've nearly got 8 million. And this is about people having a learning or an understanding of what it's like to live with dementia and then turning that understanding into action. So again, let me give you a tangible example. So I'm a dementia friend and I live in a small village in the north of England, and I've been working with my local post office to ensure that they are aware of what it feels like to have dementia, just the basic understanding. I mean, people don't understand that it's not a natural part of growing old.
No, let me stop you right there. Who of us really understands what it feels like to have dementia? What does it feel like?
Yeah, so it can be quite frustrating because actually you're forgetting the basic things. You're forgetting people's names. You're forgetting to do the basic things like making a cup of tea. However, I believe it's really important that we don't de-skill people with dementia. And it's very simple and not very costly. So if they can't remember how to make a cup of tea because they don't know what the kettle is, well, actually just label the kettle. You know, it's just these basic things. And I was really taken by the recent programme that was on around music. I think music therapy is really, really important. And I was in a care home recently where a lady was 100. And she had a DJ come in and they were all dancing around to Vera Lynn and others. And I suspect when I potentially go into a care home, that music will have moved on and it'll either be Miley Cyrus or Taylor Swift, you know, but it doesn't matter.
It's music the 80s, I'm hoping.
Yes. Well, I'm off to see Duran Duran very shortly in Leeds. And I know I could close my eyes and I will be literally catapulted back to when I was 18 with my hair back combed, dancing with my friends. And actually, that's a good memory and it makes me feel happy. And why would we not want that for people with dementia?
So what you described, they were great examples. Trevor there with his PIN code and the bank trying to work with him. And this is in a dementia-friendly community, if you can get the dementia friends that you spoke of. What about a dementia-friendly home?
Yes. So we've been working with Stirling University around how you can do small changes to the home. So we recently had a big exhibition where we developed a home and, for example, colours. Mm-hmm. So people with dementia are really aware of colours. If it's very neutral, they don't, they get quite disturbed by it. If you have a mat in the house, they sometimes think that's a hole in the floor. When I was in Australia in November, I was really pleased to see the virtual dementia experience, which has been developed by Alzheimer's Australia, and it's just recently won an award. And what that does is it simulates the experience through the eyes of a person with a dementia in a home. And what then it shows you is why they're being disturbed, why they're upset, and then the small things you can do to change it. As I said, don't put mats down because they think it's a hole and therefore we'll get quite agitated, as would anybody if you think you're going to fall down a hole, you know. So it's the small things that you can do. In care homes, they've also been looking at putting chairs at the end of corridors, putting books around it, scarves, you know, just to kind of create a different atmosphere in a care home that is less of a kind of sterile environment.
So it doesn't all look the same? Is that the point
exactly.
of that?
Exactly.
So someone can say, oh, I need, that's the corridor with the books on it, I need to go there.
Exactly. There's one lady who really likes to have scarves and jewellery. Mm. So they put that down at the end of the corridor. She sits down and it means that she's not, her behaviour is managed. She's not feeling agitated. And it's the same issue around if they feel calm and they feel happy, then they're less agitated in the care home and they're not going to be given things like antipsychotic medication. And that's helpful for the health and care environment as
well. So I was going to ask you next, what's an unfriendly environment with people for dementia? And obviously one where they're just given medication, left their own devices is one. But, you know, what's some classic examples of mistakes that we all make, or things we could change easily in, are we currently providing unfriendly environments?
I think we are, and I think it's about listening to people with dementia. So I'm a policy advisor in the Department of Health, and whilst I think I understand, I've been doing this for quite a long time, is I think it's so important to speak to people with dementia and their carers and say to them, what is it that you want? What is it that'll make your life easier and better? And then translating that, you know, in their own homes or in care homes or in hospitals. You know, one of the things in hospitals is when people go in with dementia, a lot of hospital staff are not aware, they're not trained. Mm-hmm. So we've developed the butterfly campaign, where there's a butterfly above the person's bed and they have different crockery, so that the staff in hospital know they've got dementia and that they check that they've eaten and that they've had a drink, because they can so easily become dehydrated. The other things that we've been doing is developing gardens, which are calm places for people with dementia to just come out of that busy environment of a hospital or a care home and just sit in the garden, and also do gardening as well.
And is that measurable, the success of something like that? Have you been able to, I mean, is that evidence-based, that having a garden in a, you know, just outside a hospital room, for instance, makes a difference?
Most definitely. So we've been working with a number of GPs, pharmacists and health professionals on reducing the antipsychotic medication. And we had data. Then we looked at the different interventions that we were making, and then we measured the outcome of that, and the reduction in the antipsychotic medication went down considerably because of these interventions.
It's 8:15 on Breakfast. Our guest is Jill Ayling. She's from Britain's Department of Health, head of Britain's response to the World Health Organization's Global Action Against Dementia program. And we're talking about dementia-friendly environments and the importance of them. Jill, there's two issues too. One is often many people are undiagnosed, so they don't know, and those around them don't know that they have dementia. That's one issue. But also, for maybe help talk to us a bit about how to communicate with someone who has dementia, because the temptation is to treat them simply or to ignore them, really, as not counting, which presumably is counterproductive.
Yeah, I don't think it's rocket science, Fran. I think it's about treating somebody with respect, like you and I would want to. So 1 in 3 of us will get dementia. I hope that people talk to me respectfully, that they understand what my life has been. So life stories are really important. So getting an early diagnosis, writing down what your life has been, you know, you've had children, you've had a good career, what your hobbies are, what the choices that you want to make in your life, so that people know that. So let me give you a really good example. So there was a gentleman in a care home who was getting quite disturbed, and he kept trying to open the doors and open and lock them. And when he couldn't do that, he became really agitated. And when they sat down with his family, they found out that he is actually a prison warden and therefore kept thinking he needs to lock and unlock the doors. So what the care home did was they just got a block of wood, put some locks within it and allowed him to do that. And that reduced his agitation and his anxiety. So it's about recognising the individual, treating with the respect and remembering that they can live well with dementia and there's more to the person than just the dementia.
And can I just ask you finally, Jill, there's a really tragic, really sad story on the front of one of our newspapers today about an Australian soldier who was injured in Iraq by an IED. Yeah. And he's died of dementia at age 36. Now, that's very young, and obviously most dementia sufferers aren't 36 or aren't that young. But is there a particular issue with younger people with dementia and how their environment is perhaps very extra important?
It is, and I think we've just started to acknowledge that it's so important to address those needs of early onset dementia. So Christine Bryden, who I met in Melbourne, the other day, she got it when she was 46. Now, I'm 48, so that's quite scary for me, but she's now 20 years in. She's written 2 books. She's living well with dementia, and what she says is focus on what the person with dementia can still do. So even though she's got early onset dementia, she's still living quite a good life.
Okay, Jill Ayling, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Jill Ayling is head of the UK's response to the WHO's Global Action Against Dementia program. She'll be giving a public lecture in Hobart today, next week in Canberra, Adelaide, Perth and Darwin. If you want to find out more, we'll put those details on our website. And if you missed our story before the news about Silver Memories, it's a radio station in Brisbane, which is sort of playing music and stories to help people. It's a therapeutic tool for people with dementia. We'll also put a link to that on our website.